Now, yesterday we started the Shmona Sei Dovar, which is on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, and we started with my Ninhu, which is about 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. We gave an introduction yesterday. We'll just very quickly highlight that introduction, so that'll be a smooth landing for the beginning of the sugya. And we said the following: Minat Torah, according to the Torah law, Ochlin u'mashkin could not be metame Adam who eats this Ochlin u'mashkin, with the one exception of Nevelas of Tahar, which is metame b'shashi b'beis habliya. Nevelas behema, for example, even though it's an avatum, nevertheless it's not metame b'achila, it's only metame b'maga. Now, as far as Adam is concerned, so Adam is makabel tuma from an avatuma. So an avatuma is metame ochlin umashkin Adam mekelim. Now, once any of the above become tame, like Adam mekelim ochlin umashkin, because it came in contact with one of the avasatuma, those are called now Rishon Latumah. If food comes in contact with a Rishon Latumah, it becomes a Sheni Latumah. And if this Sheni Latumah comes in contact with food, that makes it into a Shlishi, and the Shlishi can make a Revi. Now, as far as foodstuff that is Chulin is concerned, there's only Tumah of Rishon and Sheni. When the Sheni comes in contact with other food and makes it into a Shlishi, so Truma, if the Sheni comes in contact with Truma, so then the Truma becomes Tmeya, and the Truma itself could create a Revi. He says, Truma Shenoga B'Sheni Nase Shlishi. However, he says, Truma Shenoga B'Shlishi Eina Metame Liosas Revi. So we'll have to remember these rules, hopefully, as we go along. Now, Kodshim can become even a Revi. Now, all the cases listed in our Mishnah, which we're going to study now, and we're going to set up what's called the Sheni Latuma. If the Sheni Latuma comes in contact with Truma, then it passes the Truma, and you're not allowed to eat the Truma, because Truma came in contact with the Sheni. But the Truma itself does not become Tmeya to be Metame other Truma. And that's why we said yesterday that our Mishnah used the word posel and not metame, because this truma that comes into contact with the sheni lituma, although it's posel and you can't eat it, but nevertheless it's not tame per se, and it's not metame acherim, because the word tame means that it can be metame acherim. Now, the difference here between the tumah that's listed, the tumeos that are listed in our Mishnah, and other tumas which are doraisa, is that with regard to the tumas that we're dealing with, you can be tovel and you don't have to wait for harif shemesh. Immediately after the tefillah, you're allowed to eat truma. What else did we say yesterday? Just to review. We said that from the pasuk Nevela utrefa lo yochal letama ba, the Gemara in Nida derives that dafka masha eno metame elabachiloso metame bebeis habliya, which means that there's a special din of Nevelas of, again, an oftar, that it's metami b'achilu b'beis habliya. But nevelas behema, because it's metami in other ways, like maso mata or mago maso, it's not mitame bachilosa. The kolshkein ochel she'eno av hatuma ki im rishon hatuma eno mitame is ochlo. So the bottom line of all this is eating something that's tummy does not make you tummy. And here we go back to the Doraisa halacha that a person is not makabel tumah except from an ava tumah. So therefore, if he eats something which is a rishon l'tumah, food that's a rishon l'tumah, then he's not tumah midoraisa. But the rabbanon gozru, they made gzera she'odom she'ochel, whether he eats a rishon l'tumah or even a sheni l'tumah, then he passels himself from achilus truma, and not only that, he passels truma bimago. That truma cannot be mitame anything else bimago, because, as we said before, it's only a din of psul, but it's not a din of tuma. And the Gemara shortly is going to explain the reason for this gzera that a person who eats tuma, which is a rishon or a sheni, why he becomes pasul truma. And then we had a discussion at the end of yesterday's shiur about how much you'd have to eat from this ochel tameh in order to passel yourself from truma. And the shiur is what's called chatzi pras, which according to Gemara Yuma is the equivalent to shtei beitzim shochakos. However, there was one chiddush that we had yesterday. The Rambam, for example, says it's Beitzu Mechza, but the chiddush that we had yesterday is that the gzera that we're talking about in our Mishnah is not to prohibit achilas truma for a person who ate macholim tmeim. So if he ate macholim tmeim of what we call the chatzi pras, he becomes posel of truma. But as far as his iser achilas truma is concerned, second, I'm like Zera lifts all as a truma b'mago. Oh, then you know, it's even after he eats a rishon or eats a sheni l'tuma, now he touches truma and he passes the truma. So, as far as that is concerned, shiura b'kibetz. So, let me just get this straight one more time. So, hagzera hamuvays b'mishnah sheni ena lesser. Achilas truma li adam she'ochal ochlin tmein. So in other words, our gzera is that if he ate a chatzi pras of a rishon or sheni and he touches truma, then he passes the truma. But as far as, let's say, achilas truma is concerned, because we said the two din, one din is that he'll passel truma b'mago, and then there's another din that he himself is not allowed to eat truma. As far as that iser is concerned, of not allowing Tisa to eat truma because he ate a rishon or sheni, that applies even with a kibetza. So my new shmonasrei dover. The Gemara asks, what are the 18 disnan? And we started this mishnah yesterday. It's a mishnah in Zovin. In the fifth parak of Zovin, it says elu. The following could be mitame posel sa truma, and if they touch truma by coming in contact with the truma, they posel the truma. Ha'ochel ochel rishon va'ochel ochel sheni. If he eats ochlin, that is either a rishon l'tuma or a sheni l'tuma. So a rishon l'tuma came in contact with an ava tuma. A sheni came in contact with a rishon l'tuma, and now he ate it, either the first or the second, then he will passel truma b'mago, and as we said before, he's not allowed to eat truma as well. Now there's a question here in the Mefarshim as to why the Mishnah had to include both ochel sheni and ochel rishon. If ochel sheni has this din, then wouldn't I have derived ochel rishon with a kal v'chomer? If he would have only said Ochel Rishon, we would have thought that Ochel Sheni does not posel truma b'mago. But what if it would have said just Ochel Sheni? We would have thought that Ochel Rishon af mitameyas hatruma. Right, the whole point that we made over and over again is that this gzera means that he posels truma, but not that he's mitame truma, such that the truma will be mitame something else. But we would have had a hava, meaning that maybe in the context of this gzera, if a person eats a rishon l'tumah, maybe he would become a conveyor of tumah to such an extent that now if he touches truma, the truma itself would become tumea, which would pass on a revealing l'tumah, another tumah, to another truma that it comes in contact with. So kamash malon, this Mishnah in Zavin wants to teach us that even in the case of Ochel Rishon Lutuma, nevertheless his Iser is Maga Betruma because he passels the Truma, but he's not Metame the Truma. Now, let's go on to Mashkim. Now there's another category in the Mishnah, Vehashose Mashkim Tmeim. Now here, if he drinks mashkim tmeim, the Mishnah doesn't differentiate between rishon l'tumah, sheni l'tumah. And the reason for that is because mashkim tmeim are always called a rishon l'tumah. That's a Mishnah in Parah. I think we discussed it when we learned Masechta Brachos, if I remember correctly. So there was a gzera that mashkim tmeim always are considered a rishon l'tumah. Then we go on to the Haba Rosho Veruba B'mayim She'uvim. So Mayim She'uvim are water in a receptacle, in some sort of a kli. And let's talk about the day in which he was Tovel Mitum Aso. And then he went into a receptacle, like some sort of a bathtub, maybe a barrel of water, and it was Rosho Verubo entered into Mayim She'uvim. And he also becomes Tomei. So Mayim She'uvim Bekli Einam Ksherim L'Tvila. That's based on a drasha in the Gemara Psachim from the Pasuk Ach Mayan Ubar Mikva Mayim Yeh Tahar. Rak Mayim Ubar Mikva Mayim. That's what could be mitar, but not mayim shenishavu bekli. So now we're talking about a tvul yom, and it's the day of his tefillah.
It's about rosh v'ruva mayim.
Right, mayim she'uvim. And the question that we want to ask here is that forget about mayim she'uvim. Even without mayim she'uvim, if he would come in contact with truma, he would passel the truma, because he's a tful yom. So what does this gzera add? And that's the subject that Tosus Dibra Maskel Vehaba, which is the next to last Tosus on the Omud. And Tosus seems to say the following: Mikomakom gzera zu hi shenechshav ki ilu nitma al yedei ha'mayim ha'elu sheba betocham, that he went into this water. So let's say, for example, he goes to the mikveh and he has to wait now to remove his status of tumah until Harif Shimsho. And after Harif Shimsho, he goes into this bathtub. It's Rosh Veruba B'mayim She'uvim. He needs another tefillah, and if he touches truma, he passes the truma. Even though, again, he had both Tvila and Harav Shemesh. So his batul bimenu din tvul yom. Then we have the next category, which is even more revolutionary. And that is Vitar, just a regular Tar. Yeah. He was not a tvul yom. Shenofal, or Noflu al Rosho Verubo Shloshes Lugim Mayim She'uvim. So in the first gzera, we talked about a person who went into Mayim She'uvim, such that most of his body, by his head and most of his body, was submerged in the Mayim Shuva. Now, we're talking about a certain specific amount of water, which is called Shloshim Lugim, that fell onto his head. Not that he went into the bathtub or the receptacle, but rather something fell on his head, kind of like a shower situation. Because in a shower situation, you don't go into the water, the water falls on you. Now, in the case of a Tful Yom, we said before, he becomes Tomei, B'mayim She'uvim, and he becomes Tomei also B'nefilas Shlosha Lugim Mayim She'uvim Al Rosho V'rubo El Shpaze Gozu Af Al Tohar Gomor. So until now we spoke about Mayim She'uvim in the context of a Tful Yom. Now we're talking about a Tohar Gomor. And the Gemara is going to say later on, Kedeshi Kaimu Tiskayim Gzeir B'Tful Yom, that this was an extension of the original Gzeir B'Tful Yom, and now the Tohar Gomor is Barosh of Ruba Mayim She'uvim Logos. In the case of a Tohar, if he goes into Mayim She'uvim, that would not be included in this Gzeir. But this Gzeir is on Misha Naflu Olav Shlosha Lugim. And this has to do with Darkom Losseis Al Tful Yom B'Meimor Shlosha Lugim Mayim She'uvim. That's going to be the sugya later on Daf Yud Dalet. And L'Rotza L'Hachmel Ator Gomer Yoser Me'a Ofen Shai Regilim Lassos Acher Shai Tovlim B'Meimor. So they used to do a certain kind of a Mayim She'uvim job after they came out of the Tefillah, and this case of Gzera is utter the way that they used to do it, to avoid the way they do, because that would give them a confusion. They mistakenly thought it wasn't the Tefillah, but it was the Mayim She'uvim. So the Gzera was in a case of Ba, of Nafal Al Rosho, Shlosha Lugim Mayim She'uvim. Yeah, everything is about Pasul Truma, right, to Pasul Truma. Now we're on the bottom of the Omud, about three lines up, 3.5 lines. HaSefer. Sefer is a reference to Kisvei HaKodesh and includes Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. And in those days it was written on a cloth. That also is considered, if he touches it, a posel l'truma. Ve'yadayim. In other words, the hands themselves, if he didn't wash them, they also would be posel satruma, vatful yom. Now this tful yom is a pella, because tful yom is, if he went into the mikvah before Erev Shemesh, he's tami doraisa. This is not a gzera derabbanan, so we don't know why it's listed here in the Mishnah. Rashi seems to say that we have to wait patiently for the Gemara to ask that question, that this is a din that Tful Yom Pasul's Truma B'Mago Minat Torah. That's not Gzeiras Chachamim. And then he says, Va'ochlim Va'kelim Shenitma'u B'Mashkin. So if Ochlim or Kelim come in contact with Mashkim Tmeim, and we said the Mashkim Tmeim have the din, the status of a Rishon, so Mirabonim, they become Tomei. Again, because on a derais level, Ochlim and Kelim can only contract tumah from an Ava tumah, but this is Rabbanon, and they contract tumah from contact with Mashkim. So these are all the dinim of the Gzeros, of the Shmon Esrei Gzeros, Shegozer Olein Valios, Hananya Ben Chizkiah, as far as the din of Sheni Lutuma. And once you have the status of a Sheni Lutuma, you pasel Truma B'Mago Midrabon. So now the Gemara is going to go through all these cases one by one and analyze them. So the first case that we're going to talk about is Ochel Ochel Rishon Lutuma, Ochel Ochel Sheni Lutuma, then he pasels Truma. So the Gemara asks Mantana, who's the author of that Mishnah that holds Ha'ochel ochel rishon ve'ochel ochel sheni is has a din of sheni l'tuma u'mifsal pasli. He passels truma v'mago, but that truma itself would not passel other truma if it comes in contact with other truma. But the din of a rishon l'tuma is l'tmuye lo mitame. So it's not. Even if you had a rishon l'tuma, it would not be mitame truma to make the truma to sheni l'tuma in such a way that the truma would now passel other truma if it came in contact. Omer Rabbi Baruchana, Rabbi Yeshua hi. So now we're going to analyze a Mishnah and Taros, and based on a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we're going to determine that our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Zovin that we're studying now, is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. Because keep in mind, as we'll soon see, I'm just giving a little bit of a preview, Rabbi Yeshua holds that whether or not he eats ochel rishon or eats ochel sheni, his guf becomes a sheni l'tum and passels the truma v'mago, but it doesn't generate tuma on the truma to make the truma into a sheni l'tuma that could passel truma acheres b'mago, as we emphasized over and over again, and that's going to be Rabbi Yeshua. But let's see first the Snan, the Mishnah in Taras that presents this machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ha'ochel ochel rishon, his guf becomes a rishon l'tuma, which means that he is mitame truma b'mago, and that truma becomes a sheni l'truma. That's going to be against Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, what we're saying now is that if, let's say, I eat a rishon l'truma, and now I come in contact b'mago with truma, the truma becomes a sheni l'truma, which means that if that truma comes in contact with other truma, it makes that other truma into a shlishi l'truma. That's not our Mishnah. That's not Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is going to insist that whether he eats ochel that's a rishon l'tuma, or he eats ochel that's a sheni l'tuma, in both cases, he becomes a sheni l'tuma, and he doesn't make truma through his maga into a shlishi l'tuma, but rather he passels truma. So the nafkamina between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is going to be what happens if the man who ate ochlin that were tmei and barishon l'tum, if he then came in contact with truma, does that truma have the power to convey tuma to a third truma? Rabbi Eliezer would say yes, and Rabbi Yeshua would say no, and our Mishnah would say no, because Rabbi Yeshua is saying that when a person eats a rishon l'tuma, he himself becomes a rishon l'tuma. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that if he eats a rishon, he becomes a sheni l'tuma, and he only passels truma, but he's not metame truma. So again, Rabbi Eliezer Omer ochel ochel rishon is rishon. If he eats a rishon l'tuma, that means the ochlin that came in contact with an avatum, and he eats that ochlin, his guf becomes a rishon l'tuma, and now with his contact with truma, he makes the truma into a sheni l'tuma, which means that sheni l'tuma, that truma, can now passel other truma b'mago to make it into a shlishi. But va'ochel ochel sheni is then he becomes a sheni, which means he passels truma b'mago. But he's not metame the truma b'mago because he's only a sheni. Ochel shlishi is his guf becomes a shlishi, which means he would not passel truma because there's no such din as a revi l'tuma and truma, but rather he would passel kodshim. So if he comes in contact with kodshim, then the kodshim becomes a revi l'tuma. So again, the main point here that we want to get out of Rabbi Eliezer is that if he eats ochel rishon l'tuma, his guf becomes a rishon l'tuma, such that now if he comes in contact with truma, not only does he passel the truma, but moreover, the truma becomes a shlishi l'tuma.
According to Rabbi Eliezer.
Correct. No, I'm sorry, I said it a little bit wrong. Let me say it one more time. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he eats ochel rishon l'tuma, then his goof becomes a rishon l'tuma, and now through his maga, betruma, the truma becomes a sheni l'truma. That's what I meant to say. And I don't know if I said it right. So that if the truma becomes a sheni l'truma, it could now b'mago betruma cheres, it could pasul the truma cheres, making it into a shlishi l'truma. Then the shlishi now could make a revi, which means that that's only in kodshim. And here's where Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, and he says the following: Ha'ochel ochel rishon. Knows whether or not he eats a rishon l'tumah u ochel sheni. In both cases, his goof becomes a sheni l'tumah, which means that he passes truma b'mago, but he's not metami the truma. So again, the machlokas now between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua is in the case of a person who eats a rishon l'tuma. What is his status as a result of eating a rishon l'tuma? Again, ochlin midraisa, we said, is not metame odom, but midrabanon, ochlin bachiloso is going to be metame odom. And we spoke yesterday about the shir of achila. And the question is, when he eats this rishon l'tuma, what's his status of tuma midrabanon? And here's the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says he becomes a rishon l'tuma. Do you see that? Ha'ochel ochel rishon is what? Is a rishon. He himself becomes a rishon, which means now that he can make truma, when he touches the truma, into a sheni l'tuma, such that now the truma can now convey tumah and passel other truma. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, no, ha'ochel ochel rishon l'tumah nasa sheni l'tumah, which means he cannot convey tumah to truma b'mago, but rather he passels the truma b'mago. So that truma now is truma psula, but it does not have the status of truma t'meah, which means that it cannot convey tumah if it comes in contact with other truma. Then Rabbi Yeshua continues, and he says that, and here's where he becomes more machmir. It's interesting, until now Rabbi Yeshua was the mekil, but here we also have a chumra of Rabbi Yeshua. What's the chumra of Rabbi Yeshua? Shlishi, if he eats a shlishi l'tuma, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, we said if he eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi l'tuma, which means he cannot pasul truma. But paradoxically, Rabbi Yeshua now becomes the harsh one, the machmir, and he says, Nasa gufo sheni l'tuma. He becomes a sheni l'tuma. However, what is the implication of a person who eats a shlishi l'tuma and he becomes a sheni l'tuma? It says, Lakodesh v'ein sheni l'truma. So it means that he becomes a sheni, but only as far as Kodesh, as Kodshim is concerned. See, Metame Kodshim v'mago, which makes the Kodshim into a Shlishi L'tum. And we said that a Kodshim, if it becomes Shlishi L'tum, it conveys, if it comes in contact with other Kodshim, it conveys a Revi L'tum. So now, as far as Kodshim is concerned, since he became a Sheni L'tum, then once he comes in contact with Hegdesh, he makes the Hegdesh b'mago through his touching into a Shlishi l'tuma, which could pasul b'mago kodshim achirim, making them into a Ri l'tuma. But ein sheni, ein nasa gufo sheni l'tuma. In other words, we said that an ochel ochel Shlishi kodshim Yeshua becomes a sheni l'tuma, but that's only as far as Hegdesh is concerned, but not as far as Truma is concerned, which means that if this person who ate a shlishi now comes in contact with Truma, he does not passel the Truma b'mago.
Because he ate a shlishi.
Because this chumra that we upgrade the status of an ochel b'shlishi to a sheni l'tuma is only a kodshim halacha. But as far as truma is concerned, we don't consider him a sheni to pasul truma. Until now, the whole premise of the gzera of chachamim was that a sheni l'tuma pasuls truma b'mago. The exception to the rule is the case of a sheni l'tuma who ate a shlishi, according to Rishu, who status becomes a sheni only as far as kodshim are concerned. But he's not a sheni as far as truma is concerned. If he would have been a sheni as far as truma, then his contact with the truma would have passed the truma. And in this case, since he ate a shlish of truma, his contact with truma would not pass the truma. And now Rabbi Yeshua explains himself, and he says, which macholim are we talking about? We're talking about chulin now. Forget about coming in contact with truma. We're talking about someone who eats chulin, and he eats chulin which is a shlishi l'tuma. Right, that was the last case that we addressed here in Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so what is this case of a person who eats chulin that's a shlishi l'tum and he becomes, according to Rabbi Yeshua, a sheni l'tum l'kodshim? Is bechulin shenasu al taros truma. So let me just read to you, the Masifta has a presentation here about what this means, and he says the following. And I don't want to lose the flow of the Gemara, because again we have to get back to the main point, which we'll get back to just after this one little piece, as to why and how the Gemara proves that the Mishnah in Zovin reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. We'll get back to that right away, but just I owe one chov here about Chulin Shenas Al Taras HaKodesh. And he says the following, Chulin Shenishmeru Metumah Ki'ilu Hein Truma. In other words, let's say, for example, I'm a Kohen and I own Chulin. So I'm a Kabbal on myself in this particular circumstance to eat Chulin V'taras Truma. Meaning, I'm going to treat my Chulin as if it was Truma, as a personal, you know, Harchaka, so that I become Ragil to how I should treat Truma Betara. So in other words, I use the chulin as, so to speak, an exercise, a training for Truma Betara. If I treat my chulin Betara, then I'll know how to treat my Truma Betara. That's called chulin shenasu al taras Truma. Let's go on. Lachen, yesh lem din Truma l'inyin zeh. Shim nagu b'sheni l'tuma. Nasim shlishi l'tuma kitruma. Again, our whole yisod was that if you have a sheni l'tuma, it passes truma. So now we're talking about a case of someone who had a maga with a sheni l'tuma, and therefore he becomes a shlishi l'tuma like truma, right? Because we said that that truma is unique. In the sense that, as opposed to chulin, if it comes in contact with a sheni l'tuma, it becomes a shlishi, which means it's possible the truma, he's not allowed to eat it. And that chumrah of truma is now going to apply to chulin, in which chulin, like truma, could become a shlishi l'tuma. But it's only nogea, it's only relevant to kodshim. Now, why would chulin become a shlishi l'tuma? There's no such thing as a shlishi l'tuma in chulin. There's only a shlishi l'tuma in truma or a kodshim. Kodshim even has a reveal l'tuma. But the answer is, we're talking about a kohen who accepted upon himself to treat his chulin as if they were truma. And therefore, this chulin becomes a shlishi l'tuma. Now, what's the relevance of a shlishi l'tuma? I mean, you're telling me chulin. See, if you're telling me truma becomes a shlishi, I understand. The truma is possible. You can't eat it. That I understand. But if you're telling me that chulin becomes a shlishi l'tuma, to what relevance is that? And the answer is because it passes kodshim. Because kodshim can become a revi l'tuma. Aval machole chulin stam, if you were not in that position of a kohen who accepted to treat his chulin as if it were truma, that's called chulin stam. Einam nasim shlish l'tuma klal. Right, there's no such din as a shlishi l'tuma in chulin. There's only Shlishu Tumah in Truma. Okay, now we have to swing back to the statement of Rabba Bar Bachana on the top of our Amud, that our Mishnah in Zovin should be attributed to Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Because Rabbi Yeshua said that even in the case of an Ochel Rishon Letumah, that was the thorn of the Machlokas, the Selah Machlokas, as we call it, between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, even in a case where he ate a Rishon Letumah, his body becomes a Sheni Letumah, which means that it passes Truma B'mago. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, he becomes a Rishon Letumah, which means that he's Metame Truma B'mago. So the Nafkamina here between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Yeshua, is what happens within the context of this Gzeira Derabbanan if a person eats a Rishon Letumah, which means Ochel that came in contact with an Avatumah. Does he, A, this is Rabbi Yeshua and our Mishnah, Pasel Truma B'mago, or B, he's Metame Truma B'mago? If he's Metame Truma B'mago, the Truma becomes a Sheni Letumah. And a Truma is a Sheni Letumah if it comes in contact with Truma, makes the Truma into a Shlishi Letumah. That would be Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. But we're going according to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says that even though he ate a Rishon Letumah, he becomes a Sheni Letumah, which means that he cannot make Truma into a Shlishi Letumah, but what he can do is he can passel the Truma. Because again, the Yesodus is that a Shady Letumah, when he comes in contact with Truma, passels the Truma, but he's not Metami the Truma. The Nafkamina is if that Truma, which became Truma Psula, could now convey Tumah to other Truma. Okay, now the Gemara wants to understand the reasoning here. Why did the Chachamim make these gzeros? Ha'ochel ochel rishon, va'ochel ochel sheni, my time agozu be'rabon and tumah. Again, as far as the Torah law is concerned, there's no such thing as a person contracting tumah by eating ochlin. He would have to have some contact with an avatumah. The ochel that came in contact with the avatumah becomes tameh, but the ochel of this rishon letumah and certainly a sheni letumah does not become tameh on a deraisa level. He's only tameh midrabbanan. Why did the rabbanan make this gzeira? And everything comes down to truma. That's the main subject. The Gemara says zibdin the ochel ochlin tameh v'shakil mashkim the truma v'shadi lefume. When a person eats solid food, he very often drinks something to help it go down his palate, right? Down his throat. So what we're afraid of is that if we don't make this harchaka, then people will eat ochlin tmeim, right? Again, let's say a rishon tum means the ochl came in contact with an avat tumah. And now while he's eating it in his mouth, he hasn't even swallowed it, he drinks mashkim of truma. Now, I'm not exactly sure who we're talking about. I mean, would you or I be drinking mashkim of truma? I don't think so. We have to be talking about a kohen. But because of the kohen, we're going to go out of our way and extend this to apply even to Yisrael. So what does that mean? The kohen is now eating a rishon letumah. He's got the ochel in his mouth. And while it's in his mouth, he drinks truma. Right, let's say he drinks wine. So in such a case, or the Rambam Shita said, even, just one second, Zaysim is not going to be so relevant to us, but anyway, even if we would theoretically drink oil, you know, according to the Rambam, that would be truma. So now what happens is, inside his mouth, he has contact between Ochlim Tmeim and Truma. And as a result of the maga between the Ochel Tomei and the Truma, Pasale, he passels the Truma. And we want to avoid passeling Truma as much as we can. Now the Gemara says, Hashose Mashkim Tmeim, my time ago, Zubeira Bonum Tuma. Now, In the reverse sequence, where he's drinking mashkim tmeim, it seems very far-fetched that as he's drinking, he's going to add ochel. So the Gemara says, no. My time goes to be rabban and true tuma. The zimnin, it could happen. Again, it seems a little far-fetched. The shasa mashkim tmeim, he's drinking mashkim tmeim. Vishakil ochlin the truma vishadi lefume. I remind myself when I take a pill, so sometimes what I do is I put the water in my mouth first and then I put the pill in. I'm just giving you a mushal of my dovredom. See, he's going to take ochlin into his mouth and he's got mashkim in his mouth. Upasale, because these ochlin are truma. So he's got mashkim tmeim in his mouth together with ochlin truma in his mouth, and he's going to passel the truma. So they made gzera that he should shiatame truma b'mago, that when a person eats or for that matter drinks, as we said before, in mashkim tmeim, ochlin tmeim, or mashkim tmeim, and then he comes in contact with truma, then he passels the truma, or he's metame the truma according to Abelezer in the case of a rishon, right? He says all this is kadesh lo ye rogil etzel truma. You know, this is all our chaka from truma. You know, as soon as we tell him, look, man, you're going to eat these ochlin, then you're going to become tame, or at least you're going to passel truma, as we said before. He's going to already be very careful about what he eats and to not have contact between what he eats if it's tame and truma. So this is a way of being marchikim from any sort of maga between a dovra metamias at truma and the truma itself. Because again, when he's eating ochlin tmeim or mashkim tmeim, we're afraid that he'll mix truma into his mouth. So Gemara says hainu hach. So why do you call these two different zeros? What difference does it make whether he's eating ochlin tmeim or he's drinking mashkim tmeim? It's exactly the same reason. Ma'udetem, I would have thought hashchichi v'lo shchichi. It's very common that a person when he's eating machal, and in this case he's eating machal tameh, that he'll drink mashke, and that mashke might be a mashke shel truma, because it's very common that we add mashkim while we're eating ochlin. But ha lo shchichi. But in the case where a person is drinking mashkin and now we're afraid he's going to put ochlin into his mouth, that's not motzui. And therefore I would think, lo gozer al ashosa mashkim tmeim sheyitma, because there's no chash that he might put an ochel of truma into his mouth while he's drinking the mashkim tmeim. And therefore we need the Mishnah to tell me, kamash malon, the Mishnah in the Tana wants to tell me, Feirush, that there is an extra gzera here, even for this way out chashash, that while he's drinking mashkim, he's going to add machal truma into his mouth. Now we go on to the next gzera that was mentioned in the Mishnah. Habba rosho verubo b'mayim she'uvim. My time a gozru be'rabon and tuma. Now we're talking about, if you remember, of a tvul yom, and after he went into the mikveh, he entered into a bathtub or any kind of mayim she'uvim, which is mayim that's collected in a kli, and rosho verubo, he submerged in the mayim she'uvim, and now we're going to say that he has the status of a tamei, and such that he passes truma b'mago. My time goes to be'rabon and tuma. Omrav baby barabat omrav asi. Shemitchila, before this gzera, hayutovlin b'mei ma'oros mechunasim. So it seems that 40 saw of rainwater would very often collect to make a body of water in a mara, in some sort of a cave. But usruchim, the water didn't smell very clean. So what would they do? Hayunosim aleim, afterwards they would pour onto their bodies Mayim she'uvim. And the purpose of the Mayim she'uvim was, as we would say, take a bath, take a shower after you go to the mikveh. There are people who do that. So his chilu, and then from that minog evolved a very mistaken impression. Asom keva. They made this almost part of the ritual as an absolute, that always after the tefillah b'mikvah, they would pour on themselves mayim shuvim, they would take a shower. Is gazra lehem tuma? So the Rabbanan said, no, you're going to be tame if you pour this. So Rabbanan had an agenda to not allow, to not tolerate that they would enter into mayim shuvim rosha marubo. Why not? I mean, Rav Asi says this is something that was objectionable, but he didn't explain why. So the Gemara says, my keva, what was the terrible thing they had to make zera because this became keva, became a matter of course. Amar Abai, shall you omrim lo elu mitarin ele elu vi elu mitarin. So this is stage number one. Stage number two, it gets even worse. But in stage number one, they started thinking, because again, yeah, this became such a standard practice that people thought, well, it's part of the ritual. You know, it's like the girl who comes home from an NCSY convention, and she got a little religious. She wasn't from a religious background. She comes to her mother. She wants to wash the Tefillah Siddayim. She asks her mother if she could borrow her ring to put the ring in her mouth. You know, people think it's part of the ritual. So people think it's part of the ritual that you have to take a bath after you come out of the mikvah. Amalei Rava, so my nafkamina. Let them think so. They realize that they need tefillah in mikvah. Hakatovli Bahanach. So they were Tovil in a mikvah. Elamarava, this is stage number two. This is how far the Amaratzis got. Shayu Omrim lo elumitarin ela elumitarin. They began to think that it wasn't the tefillah in the mikvah kosher that was mitar them, but rather it was the mayim shuvah, it was the bathtub that was mitar them. And mayim shuvah not kosher the tefillah, as we mentioned earlier, it says, ach mayim ubar mikvah mayim yeh tahar. So therefore they made a gzera that someone who goes rosh ha-merubah b'mayim shuvim after his tefillah, he becomes tamei. But then the next gzera, and with this we'll call it a week, so to speak, is tar shenafla rosh ha-merubah shlosh ha-lugim mayim shuvim my time goes v'ero. Why is it that a person who's tar, he's not after mikvah, and he, you know, there was some sort of shower that of shlosh lugim mayim shuvim, and he became tamei. So the Gemara answers the ilo ha lo kaima ha. So in other words, we tried to explain why the Rabbanim made this gzera of tuma, that this person who upon whom fell the shlosh lugim mayim shuvim, now if he touches truma, he passes the truma. We're talking about a Torah gamur. Right, so he's not someone who, after mikvah, after he was told for me to maso, he went into the mayim shuvim. So there's no chash that he would come to any sort of mistaken conclusions about what mayim has the power to be matarim. I mean, he's talking about a tar. He's just taking a shower. What do you want from his life? But the answer is the Gemara says that they would go to tuma even on a tar shenafla of rosh ha-merubah de ilo ha lo kaimah. If they wouldn't make that gzera, then the original gzera wouldn't be miskayim in the case of an adam shetaval b'mikvah, because they're going to say, well, wait a minute, a tar gamur, if he was subjected to this shlosh ha-lugim mayim shuvim, you didn't say a word about him. So they're going to think that it's okay for me, you know, even after my tefillah b'mikvah, I went into mayim shuvim, you're not going to be mitami me. There's no reason why I should be tami, because this guy went into mayim shuvim and he was not declared tami, so why should I be declared tami? So it was one unified gzera. So that's where we're going to stop now. We're up to sefer. Why is it that there's a gzera schachamim of tumah to pasul truma in the case of a sefer? So that we'll cover. Okay then?